Want to be a part of the conversation? Then let us know on the TNT Radio Interactive Live chat room at tntradio.live. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio. You're with Steve Malzberg on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard. It is 4 minutes after the hour of 10 p.m. on Thursday night already, here on the Steve Malzberg Show on the East Coast of the United States. And you know what day and time it is wherever you are listening to the Steve Malzberg Show. Welcome aboard. Let me give you the latest update on the non-indictment. Shall we call it the non-indictment of Donald Trump? The grand jury did meet today in Manhattan, in New York City, but apparently they did not hear from any witness. Reportedly, they will hear from another witness, and that will be next week, probably on Monday. But again, there's no firm indication that any of this is going to come to fruition. There's no firm indication as to what is going to happen here. And, we'll have to wait and see, because we all would have bet anything that during the course of this week, Donald Trump would have been indicted. And of course, it did not work out that way. And, for better or for worse, it did not work out that way. So we're going to have to wait. We're going to have to see. And whatever happens, we'll certainly be on top of it for you. And we will we'll bring it to you. And again, on the day that Donald Trump is indicted, if he's indicted, we will have Andy McCarthy, the great Andy McCarthy, former federal prosecutor, Fox News contributor, nobody better, National Review, editorial director, just the man to speak to about any possible indictment. And we'll have to wait and see how that that works out. Let me tell you something actually Tucker Carlson did it tonight. It's very interesting because I also saw this, and NPR, which is National Public Radio, which is just like public television here in the United States, which is in part funded by the taxpayer and is as far to the left, in my opinion, as anything you could get on cable or in the left-wing media. So my tax dollars, me and other conservatives, along with liberals, but the point here is conservatives, we're helping to finance this liberal garbage that's already all over, the media. So we need another liberal, radical, left-wing outlet, like a hole in the head is what we need. National Public Radio did a feature, New Hampshire National Public Radio, okay? Out of New Hampshire, they did a story about this group that somehow this liberal media outlet of NPR seems rah-rah, all in favor of, guess what? Having guns, arming themselves. Guess what the group is? Well, it's got to be something, right? It's got to be something unique, if you will. It's got to be some kind of a pressing group, some kind of pressing need that they have that the average person doesn't have. Well, what is that? That need that needs to be satisfied, National Public Radio says is legitimate and very much of concern, is the LGBTQ+ whatever, trans whatever community. They need weapons. They need to defend themselves. Now, based on what? Based on what? Statistics? Crime statistics? What, that the community's under attack physically? Let me tell you something. Every time I look at the FBI statistics for hate crimes, I see Jews up there as number one, as victims. And I don't see NPR telling Jews of America to arm themselves. I don't see that at all. But somehow, and isn't it curious and isn't it amazing, somehow the LGBT community needs to arm themselves. They were talking about, they were talking to somebody who was walking around there with an AR-15, which was legal, I guess, wherever they were doing it. So I don't know. I mean, I do know, but it's just amazing. And this is what I'm paying for. Now, I don't want to see anybody get hurt. I don't want to see anybody be a victim of crime. I want everybody to have the right to defend themselves. So don't misconstrue what I'm saying here. Because what I'm saying here is that we all have a right in this country to defend ourselves under the Second Amendment. That's why whenever I hear any of these left-wingers, including the president, including everybody else in the Democrat side, talk about comparing us to other countries and the amount of guns compared to other countries and the amount of shootings compared to other... Boy, I just whistled through my teeth. And the amount of shootings compared to other countries. Well, save it. We're not other countries. We are the United States of America. And we have a right under the Second Amendment to arm ourselves. Now, there are restrictions put in all over the place, of course. Some of them have been ruled unconstitutional, but it doesn't stop. Like in New York City, to get a concealed carry permit, they put you through hell. The Supreme Court said, unconstitutional. So what did New York do? They made it even tougher. And then it's going to have to go all through the courts again. So let me read you this NHPR, which is news from New Hampshire and NPR. So it's NPR New Hampshire. You have to be dangerous back. In other words, if someone's dangerous to you, you have to be dangerous back. That's the headline. You have to be dangerous back. Why some LGBTQ people in New Hampshire are taking up arms. In the corner of the parking lot of Pawtuckaway State Park, a half dozen people assemble on a recent Sunday morning, making small talk as they pull on gloves, wool hats, and gun holsters. And this is all fine with NPR. This is fine. Similar groups exist across the country, often under the name Pink Pistols. Rainbow Reload members stress that their mission goes beyond mere hobby. The goal is to prepare and protect themselves from a rising chorus of threats against LGBTQ plus people, including those stemming from hate groups. Well, again, that's fine. As long as everyone else has the same opportunity. Now, they're in a locality. And I assume the groups across the country also are in a locality. But let me ask you something. How far-fetched do you think it is? How far away do you think we are from in these sick, radical, leftist, you know, Antifa-like locations where there's anarchy in the streets, homeless taking over streets and neighborhoods? How far away do you think we are from those city councils or the state legislatures even legislating according to like this group could have arms, that group can't? How far away do you think we are from that? I don't think we're far at all. That could go under the heading of equity in some perverted manner, don't you think? Now, this Supreme Court would throw it out. but it would take a while to get to the Supreme Court. So in a place where you don't have gun rights, I mean, you know, where you got to jump through hoops, where you have the toughest, let's say New York, let's say California, you have the toughest gun laws in the country. But they cut out a niche. And I never used to say niche. I say niche. So I'll stick to niche. They cut out a niche, which is probably wrong, but, you know, it's like, could care less. It's, I couldn't care less. That means I care so less, I could not care less. But people say, I could care less, which literally means you care, because if you could care less, anyway, you follow me? So I'll stick with niche and hope that I'm right. To cut out a niche for groups that are threatened by who? Oh, by MAGA, the right wing, Tucker Carlson, Fox News. They're being whipped into a frenzy. They have to be able to protect themselves. Now, you, sucker, you don't. How far do you think we are from that? I don't think we're that far at all. I think that's certainly a possibility. Again, if the lunatics continue to, you know, run the asylum, and if they get more and more strength and run more asylums around the country. But the logic is just sick and twisted. It's the same logic that if you're white, you're a racist. It's the same logic that if you're black, you deserve reparations. It's the same logic with equity. It's the same nonsense that's really infiltrating every aspect of life and government and military. The mindset, the wokeness, the insanity of it all. If that's allowed to continue, there's nothing that's out of reach for them. Nothing. And all that stands between that and us, you know, that and sanity is, I should say, all that stands between us and them furthering their insanity is winning elections. We've got to win elections. And I fear that we won't. When you look at how bad things were in 2022, since Biden came into office between then and the elections in 2022, last November, with the Floyd riots, the riots in cities and the wokeness and what's going on in schools and crime in the streets, you can't walk the street, everything. The economy, inflation, everything. And we didn't do anything in the Senate, Republicans, and we just barely eked out the House. Now, Biden's approval rating came out from the Associated Press today. I think it's like 38%. And he gets lower marks for handling the economy. But I don't think that means anything. It doesn't mean anything. Because you won't even know about that poll unless you watch and listen to conservative media. What do you think? CNN is going to tell you? You think National Public Radio is going to tell you? No. They're just going to keep talking about how great the economy is doing, which, of course, it is not. And it's crazy stuff. It's just unfortunate. And that's what we have to deal with. That's what we have to deal with. It's very, very scary. Now, don't do it yet, but get cut 287 ready. There was a hearing in a House committee hearing today about guns, firearms, gun safety, all that kind of stuff. Of course, the Republicans run the House. So they are having the hearing, and in the middle of the hearing, the chairman of the committee, Pat Fallon, Republican from Texas, was interrupted. So I want you to hear how it went, and I'll tell you what happened as a result. And this is cut 287.
Firearm in Mexico is supposed to be registered. Mexico has 124 million people. Ma'am? Okay. All right. Officer. She goes. Please remove that woman, please.
Yes, officer, please.
You're removed. You're breaching protocol and disorder in the committee room.
He never took anyone away.
No. Officer, please remove her. And remove the gentleman, too. And I'm going to read a statement for the other folks in attendance. The committee welcomes the public to this meeting. We have people on both sides of the aisle. We have people on both sides of the aisle that not only up here but in the audience that have differing opinions. While you are welcome here, I want to point out to the members and to the audience in attendance today, House Rule 11 provides that the chairman of the committee may punish breaches of order and decorum by censure and exclusion from the hearing. All participants will be required to avoid unruly behavior and inappropriate language. Expressions of support or opposition are not in order. I expect all parties to these proceedings to conduct themselves at all times in a manner that reflects credibility on the House of Representatives.
Okay, so the police take them outside the chamber, and guess what? It's Manuel and Patricia Oliver, who lost their son at the Parkland school shooting in Florida back in 2018. And they arrested the father, Manuel. And there's video of that arrest. It doesn't do me any good to really play you that the audio from that video because it's just a bunch of noise and he's on the ground and you know there's nothing you can make from it. But he was arrested. I don't think she was arrested. But he was arrested. Now, look, my heart goes out because I cannot imagine. Okay, what parents who lose a child under any circumstances, let alone like that, feel and are going through. But you know what? We're coming over. We're coming out of January 6th. They're about to arrest, reportedly, another 1,200 people for walking around. I mean, I don't think that the ones they're going to arrest now were violent. I mean, if they were violent and they did anything good, they should be. But they're going to arrest, along with the ones they already did arrest who weren't violent, they're going to arrest a lot more people who were not violent. Now, these people weren't violent either. But what do you call it when you interrupt a congressional proceeding, a congressional hearing? Would you call it an insurrection? Would you call it an attempt to impede the government proceedings, which is kind of an offshoot, if you will, of an insurrection? I don't know. But I've seen lots of people defending the two for, well, actually, I don't know to what extent he interrupted, but he might have resisted, and that's why he was arrested. I'm not sure what he was charged with and not her. But nonetheless, you also had someone from Code Pink interrupting a congressional hearing today as well. And one of the congressmen then said, is this an insurrection? I just don't think you could ignore these kinds of things, because if you allow these kinds of things, which again, they were not violent. Again, I don't know what led to the arrest. I don't know what led to the struggle on the floor to, you know, as they arrested the father. But within the chamber itself, it didn't look like there was anything violent at all. Now, maybe when he said remove her, maybe the husband tried to stop the removal and it was violent. I don't know. You know, under the definition of violence, by maybe he put his hands on someone. I don't know. But you get my point. This stuff cannot be tolerated. This cannot be tolerated. You cannot have congressional proceedings interrupted. And it's happened. It happened a lot before January 6th. It really should be cracked down upon. And you cannot allow it to happen after January 6th if you're going to have any consistency, especially if it's done by people on the left, especially if it's done by people opposing Republicans in Congress. But you know what? They don't really care about consistency or anything else. We'll see how this turns out. Again, my heart goes out to them, but there's just no excuse for it. You have to do things the way they're supposed to be done, and if it's expected of one group and one side, it has to be expected of all groups and all sides. I know that's a utopian expectation. And what could I say? What could I say? Call me Mr. Utopian. All right. All right, folks. We're going to come back. We have a lot more to get to right here. I still can't believe it's Thursday. I really can't. On the Steve Malzberg Show on TNT Radio.
Politically incorrect on TNT Radio.
Tell us a little bit about what I'm talking about when I mention smart cities.
Smart cities is, I think, something that's relatively new to probably the vast majority of the population all over the globe. But as we see in the UK, in is it Oxfordshire, where they've already started rolling out the 15-20 minute cities concept. Traffic restrictions. You got to get passes to go from one side of the city to the next, etc. We're just starting to learn how it's being rolled out here in Australia, and obviously Victoria seems to be spearheading that pathway, if you like. We're already hearing that in Victoria they're on 20 minute cities in Victoria, but I heard Ballarat's working down to 10 minute cities.
Matilda, I've got a smartphone. Is that the same smart we talk about when we're talking about smart cities? Is it depending upon technology? Does it mean that it's in order to enforce this limitation on where and when you can go from one place to another?
Yes.
They, and I say they being in what you've just talked about, a council can actually track you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And don't think they won't.
Weekends are better when you spend it with Mike Tennessee and Richard Carson on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
At SmileTrain, we envision a world where every child with a cleft has the opportunity for a healthy, happy life. Children with clefts often struggle to eat, to speak, even to breathe. Addressing every challenge often requires more than a single surgery. That's why SmileTrain empowers our medical partners to care for the whole patient and provide ongoing, comprehensive cleft care. Comprehensive cleft care includes speech services, life-saving feeding and nutrition programs, psychological counseling, orthodontics, dental care, diagnostic, and hearing services. SmileTrain supports these essential treatments for as long as each child needs to reach their full potential.
Visit SmileTrain.org to donate and change a child's life forever. A message brought to you by TNT Radio.
So many people who had no history of heart illnesses have got it now, or blood clotting after the COVID-19 vaccination. Punish those who hurt people with COVID madness, lighting the fuse for freedom. TNT Radio.
All right, folks, we are back. Steve Malzberg right here on TNT. Okay, so let me... It seems that now, when they're not obsessed with Donald Trump, and even when they are, and we've documented this, but it's just getting so totally insane. Ron DeSantis, I mean, they're going after Ron DeSantis for every little tiny thing you could possibly imagine, any little tiny thing you could possibly make up. If he combs his hair different one day, it's just incredible. And more so when you know that we have a president who usually doesn't know where he is, who lies like he breathes, whether it's on purpose or just, because of his age. But then again, he had to drop out of the race in 88 because he was lying through his teeth. And you got a vice president who, if you didn't know who she was and you saw her sitting there on a talk show, you'd think she was some drunk, yet nothing. And if you say that, it's because she's black and a woman. And if you say it about Biden, it's because he's old. You got it? Okay. Just want to straighten all that out. I want you to know why you say and think what you say and think. So this is maybe the most insane, but it's, coming from where it's coming from. It's not The View this time. Not yet. Not yet. This is from a few days ago. This is Joy Reid from MSNBC. Now, she makes a reference first to three fingers. There was a report again. Now, this is really important because how could you be president if this is true? There was a report that Ron DeSantis was once seen eating pudding with his fingers. I kid you not. In fact, Piers Morgan asked him about it the other day in the interview, and he said, I really don't remember doing it. He said, maybe when I was a kid. Anyway, that's where they've stooped to, that Ron DeSantis eats his pudding with his fingers. Oh, my gosh. Okay, but this is just as bad, maybe worse, because you're going after somebody here, somebody's physical attributes, something that they can't help, something they were born with. And certainly if you did it to a woman or a Democrat or whatever, they call you every name in the book. But here's Joy Reid. Again, she references three fingers at the beginning. And then I think she tried, I don't know, it sounded to me like she was trying to make it sexual, like real quick, and then glossed over it. I could be wrong, but nonetheless, it's about the pudding. But she moves on to something else. Here's cut 211.
Be like, send me some pudding, because I got three fingers right in, I'm ready to grub. That's so gross, though. That's just nasty. Let me ask you, dog, because here's the challenge of going against Trump. He has one skill. Making up nicknames.
Yes.
I mean, you cannot look at Marco Rubio and not think Lil Marco. It's just, you can dislike Trump and think he's a fascist, and, you know, you'd be right.
He is, yeah.
But he's good at that. I mean, Ron DeSantis is short. He wears, like, high platform shoes to make himself look taller, and they've been photographed. Mm-hmm. He did have the boots moment, and now he's got the pudding moment. It's like Donald Trump is two ticks away from either making his nickname be Pudding or Boots.
Okay. The boots moment. They accused him of wearing cowboy boots to enhance his height because they say he's short. He's short? They have him listed in most places as 5'11 and a half, which is just about 6 feet. I've heard that he's 6'1. To me, if you're short, you're 5'8". I mean, no, I don't care. But that, if you say somebody's short, I'm thinking 5'7", 5'8", 5'9", as a man, right? If you're 5'11 and over, you're not short. But if you're Ron DeSantis, you got to be wearing cowboy boots because you're short. Here's 212.
Like it or not, Ron DeSantis, I'm sorry to tell you, Governor, there are a lot of gay people in the country. Like it or not, there are a lot of African-American people in the country, Ron. And you know what? You just banning books, like banning books about Rosa Parks and Hank Aaron in Florida schools because you don't like them, or taking out the fact that Rosa Parks was African-American in a school textbook, that's insanity. People will see that. And so the darkness and the weirdness altogether is going to make him, I think, very off-putting until, of course, Donald Trump tears his liver out and eats it live on stage.
Yeah, listen to it. It's just, isn't this cool? I mean, this is, they must just imagine how afraid of him. Imagine how afraid of any Republican they are. Because everything I talked about in the first part of the show and everything I talk about every night, if you get any Republican, Nikki Haley, who they trashed like she was garbage. Again, a woman of color. They trashed her. They just couldn't stop, and they still will. DeSantis, Trump, wait till Tim Scott, African-American Republican senator, wait till he gets in there. They'll be Uncle Tomming him. Oh, yeah, he'll be, he'll be the second Uncle Tom next to Clarence Thomas. They won't, because if you get a Republican president in there, that puts a stop to anything. But if you get a Republican president in there with enough senators and enough Republican House, well, then they start to undo everything. You see? So they come off joking and mocking and trashing, but they're terrified. Terrified. That's why anybody who announces for president, anybody, will be ripped to shreds. That's why. So you got to be aware of that. Here's cut 213.
These people are, I mean, this is the secret of MAGA. It's a dark and paranoid and depressing and pessimistic and weak philosophy. Because they may beat their chest and do the whole monster truck thing, but the reality is they think that we're weak. They think our country is bad. They think that the things that make this big, crazy country work and go forward are wrong. They want to turn the clock back to this imaginary past that never existed. in any reality at all. They want to enter some alternate universe, and it will never work. Because you know what? The average person out there, they're not worried about wokeism or whatever the hell it means. They can't define it, of course. They're not worried about that. They're worried about the economy, their kids' education, their jobs. They're worried about things that matter to their families. And when they see things that threaten their families and hurt their families.
You're the one, not you. Your philosophy threatens and hurts the families. Everything you said is absolutely true, and it's why the left is in danger. If we had Republicans who had the wherewithal to open their freaking mouths and speak. What? They're worried about their jobs. They're worried about the economy. Really? Is that why 32% said that Biden's handling the economy well in the AP poll out today? They're happy with inflation? Their kids' school? Forget for a second the indoctrination and the drag queen story hour. And little Johnny, you may be a girl. Forget that for a second. Kids can't read or do math anymore. Look at the scores in the cities around the country. So they can't be happy with their kids' education. They can't be happy with the economy. They can't be happy with their job, with the way things are going financially. And don't forget everything I just said about the indoctrination of our kids, because that's part of the schooling as well. So when he says they don't care about woke, oh, yes, they do. Yes, they do. They don't want to ban drag shows permanently from all places, but they don't want their kids going to the school library and seeing drag shows. They don't want their kids in first grade being taught that, hey, you might be a girl, Johnny, and you might be a boy, Kathy. They don't want that. So please, Jason Johnson, run on that. Well, you're not running, but go ahead. Advise everybody, run on that. Because everything you just said is true, but everything you just said is bizarro world. Because everything the left is doing about that is screwing up. Crazy stuff. Really crazy stuff. You want to know one reason why they feared DeSantis? You want to know why they hate? Well, again, I told you, basically. But listen to this guy. Listen to this guy talk about what a free society is. Cut 214.
Look at all these things. We're slaying it all. ESG, we're slaying that. The DEI stuff, critical race theory, we're slaying that. We're creating a model for really, I think, what a free society should be. Yes, freedom for you to not be constrained by government. All conservatives have always believed in that. But also freedom for you to live your life without having the pathologies of the left imposed upon you from all the other institutions in society. And maybe that's a woke corporation. Maybe that's Soros funds a DA in your community. And then this DA says he's not enforcing the law, putting you and your family at risk. We had a Soros DA in Tampa that said he was going to enforce the law. I removed him from office and he's litigating, but I'm winning the cases. And, you know, you just have to recognize that the threats to freedom are more than just whether someone's going to come in and raise your taxes or pass a bad piece of legislation. So I think Florida, we're fighting full spectrum. I think more conservatives now across the country are recognizing that we need to fight.
Yeah, but it's more than more conservatives. I mean, you're telling me that suburban housewives wouldn't be attracted to this philosophy when it comes to their kids in school? The philosophy of doing away with what the left is doing now? Okay, so here he is. I believe he's with Piers Morgan, although I'm not sure what this cut is. I'll explain it in a second. It's DeSantis. I believe it's cut 266.
What is your favorite nickname that Trump's given you so far? Is it Ron de Sanctimonious or Meatball Ron?
Well, I can't.
I think even he went off Meatball Ron.
I don't know how to spell de Sanctimonious. I don't really know what it means, but I kind of like it's long. It's got a lot of vowels. I mean, so we go with that. That's fine. You know, you can call me whatever you want. I mean, just as long as you also call me a winner.
There you go. Perfect answer. Perfect answer. But Trump has gone beyond the name calling. Trump has implied that he, might you know, be involved with minors, when he was a school teacher, sexually. I mean, all kinds of innuendos and implications. He posted a picture of him posing with students. I mean, they had clothes on. They weren't anywhere. But still, it's disgusting what Trump is doing, you know, at this point, especially. Just disgusting, really. That's Trump. It's different than calling little Marco, little Marco. And you know what the implication was. If you have small hands as a man, then supposedly you have small, you know. And so he called, and little Marco was short, and he called him little Marco. And that stuck, but that's different than, you know, trying to imply that he was involved with kids sexually. I mean, it's just, that's disgusting. Really is. Here's more with Piers Morgan and Ron DeSantis, cut 278.
Think you could beat Biden?
I think so.
So you're running then?
No, I didn't say that. I just said I think I could. I mean, I think that's. I mean, if you look at Florida,
who would be harder to beat, Biden or Donald Trump?
I don't know. Those are two different.
People have been quite kind of scathing. They've said you're house-trained Donald, your Diet Coke to his full Coke, right? You've heard all this stuff. What are the differences between you? Well, I know what I know him very well. Having now spent time with you, I could immediately identify a few differences. But what do you think of the differences?
Well, I mean, I think there's a few things. I mean, obviously, you know, the approach to COVID was different. I mean, you know, I would have fired somebody like Fauci. I think that he got way too big for his britches, and I think he did a lot of damage. I also think, just in terms of my approach to leadership, you know, I get personnel in the government who have the agenda of the people and share our agenda. If you bring your own agenda in, you're gone. We're just not going to have that.
Good, good. Well, there, you know, you could see why they're scared of him. You could see why they're scared of him. I will say this, though. In a Republican primary, even if it were head-to-head, DeSantis and Trump would win. And the more candidates that get in there, Trump will win even easier. So, it, you know, maybe they'll kiss and make up and he'll make DeSantis the vice president, which I think would be a very, very smart move. I think if he makes Carrie Lake his vice president, Trump, that would be the biggest political mistake of the Senate. Well, I don't know when, but I don't remember a political mistake bigger. There must have been one, but I don't remember. Okay, so we don't want that to happen. All right, so let's move on here. And let's go to The View. What are they doing? They're attacking Ron DeSantis. Again, still more. Here's cut 283.
But he also has an enormous education and wants to take all learning away from people.
Well, you know, that's,
don't talk yeah. about African-American yeah. history. Yeah. Make everybody ignorant except for him. And, well, and his elite
just because
that makes
people
him
have,
more dangerous.
Just because people
dangerous.
Have education doesn't mean they have any kind of real sense.
That's why he could be dumb.
And the problem for me is I've listened to him now talk about what he's doing for all the families. And it occurred to me last night, you're not helping families avoid anything. You have made life harder for many families.
Many, many families.
Because if you have a little child who's telling you this is what they're seeing, this is what they're feeling, these parents aren't sitting around eating bonbons. They don't just take their kids and they're with shrinks. They're talking to everybody to yep. see the best way. And what you're doing is you're making their job 10 times harder yeah. because now they can't help their kid. They can't take their child somewhere. You're trying to move history.
Okay. I mean, they're all over the place. He's educated and he's trying to make people uneducated. And just because he's educated and went to school, went to college, doesn't mean he's smart. Oh no, I think he's dumb. I mean, what is this? What is this? it's like they belong on a park bench. These women of The View, like on a park bench, you know, with no one around them. Just mouthing off to each other, the nonsense, the insanity. This way they'd never have to do legal notifications or quasi fake make-believe apologies for what they get wrong. Just go away. Go away. All right. So there's another one here. This one, I believe, is all Whoopi. Whoopi! Cut number 284.
Here's the bottom line. people know what's going on. You can hide it, you can put it down, you can do whatever, but the truth of the matter is we have an issue in this country, and it has to do with race. And kids are going to know it because you are trying to hide it. And when you have, whether it's a kid who has two dads, or it's a kid whose mom has been exploited by the police, there are things that are going to come up that you can't hide, you can't fix. So do. You're not ready for America.
He's not ready for the national
You're not
stage.
Ready for this country yet, because you haven't learned that we are a diverse nation. So you can run if you want to, but I ain't voting for you.
Did you hear Sonny, it's not her name, Houston, say he's not ready for the national stage? Oh, my God. I've promised you this, and I'm going to deliver. When we get back, I'm going to read you a kind of a Twitter exchange that I had with Sonny Hostin when I was at Newsmax TV. And this is from 2014, 9 years ago. She banned me from her Twitter 9 years ago. And it's I'll try to explain to you what was going on. It's just a few tweets. I'll read it to you when we come back. Steve Malzberg, right here on TNT Radio.
President Biden warns we're all damned unless we follow his green policies.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
President Joe Biden gave his climate views, appropriately enough, on the Comedy Channel. Here is a portion of the interview.
If we don't keep the temperature from going above 1.5 degrees Celsius raised, then we're in real trouble. That whole generation is damned. I mean, that's not hyperbole.
First off, that is hyperbole. Second off, no one is damned. The only way we are damned is if we follow the climate agenda and shut down modern society to do absolutely nothing for the climate. Second, the temperature goal of 1.5 C or 2 degrees C were revealed in the ClimateGate emails to be, quote, pulled out of thin air and with no scientific basis. It was called clearly a, quote, political goal. Dr. Roger Pilkey Jr. said it's more grounded in political aspirations than science, and there's essentially no science behind these temperature goals. Yet, we will face the wrath of Mother Nature if we don't follow. Let's end medieval superstition and return to science. Reject the net zero climate agenda. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio.
My husband, Alex Hussey, was hit by an IED in Afghanistan.
I was Point Man on foot patrol, and I stopped on the bomb. Lost my legs and left hand in an explosion.
DAV helps veterans of every generation to get the benefits they've earned.
To see Alex learning to snow ski, that's life-changing.
With the right support, more veterans can reach victories great and small.
This has meant so much. Thank you, DAV.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
This is all evidence that the Biden economic plan is actually working.
No.
We are talking about it. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, folks. Welcome back to the show. Steve Malzberg here. Don't forget, follow me on Twitter at Steve M. Talk, Facebook.com/Steve M. Talk. Also on Instagram, and check out the website, which you can get the podcasts, same podcasts you could find on the TNT site. You could find on my website. Just, if you want to send it to somebody or listen to it or whatever, I don't know if you could send it to somebody, but anyway, there's other stuff there as well. Okay. So here's, I promised you. So this is from December 4th. 2014, I believe that's when, this is when the email was from. So it was December 4th, which was a Thursday. So this is kind of from the middle of the Twitter exchange with me and Sonny Hostin. I cannot believe that this was so many years ago, almost, eight and a half years ago. Bizarre, right? So the first one is... Let me get this straight. Let me just make sure the one where she says I'm gone, I'll make sure what that looks like. Okay. So the one that says at Steve M is from her. Okay. Gotcha. So I write to her. I guess there was a police shooting or incident or killing in New York or somewhere that they were talking about on, and she was at CNN at the time. She was at CNN. I want to point that out. So we during the exchange, I say, now you're changing your story. You just said give CPR even if breathing. Now you say he wasn't breathing. NYPD and EMS says he was. So in other words, whatever the situation was, whoever the victim was, I don't remember what case it was. I could guess maybe, but I don't want to go there right now. Cops involved. And the NYPD and the EMS said that the victim or the person that the cops subdued, and I think the guy might have died eventually, they said he was breathing. And she said they should give CPR anyway. Now, I'm no doctor, but it just struck me as weird. You're going to give CPR to somebody who's breathing? I'd never heard of that. Maybe she knows more than me. Doubt it, but maybe. So that's what I said. I said, now you're changing your story. You just said give CPR even if breathing. And now you say he wasn't. NYPD and EMS says he was breathing. She writes to me, no change. Yes, CPR even if breathing, although it is clear he wasn't breathing since that is what he died from. Stay ignorant. Now, again, I wish I knew the case, but the guy died. What did he die from? From not breathing? When you die, you're not breathing. So she's saying they should have given him CPR. She said he wasn't breathing, but I wrote that the cops and the EMT said he was. She knew better, I guess. She said he wasn't because that's what he died from. Well, he could have been breathing and then later died and stopped breathing. But okay, you get the point of what we're going on here, right? So, and then I write, stay convinced that whites are racist. And teach your kids to obey the police. We all should. Lots less tragedies that way. So this was obviously a police struggle, resisting arrest, that kind of thing we're talking about. And the reason I brought up her kids, I said, teach your kids. Because how many times have you heard on TV from the left, you know, that only blacks have to have the conversation with their kids, you know, about the dangers of cops and stuff. So I've always said, forever that I've been on the radio, I've said, black, white, whatever. I said, where are the black leaders in this country teaching, telling their kids, always obey the police. Do not run. You run, you set up a situation where the cops have to chase, where they then think the guy might have a weapon. You're setting up a terrible situation. Just obey the police. So I write, teach your kids to obey the police. We all should. Lots less tragedies that way. She writes back, you cross the line when you start telling me what to teach my kids. Do I know you? The block button is my friend, by the way. Then I pointed out to her, you are constantly bringing up on CNN your kids, the conversation. You made it public. Obey the cops. So I was just repeating what she said. How would I know about her kids? As I point out in the tweet, I'm bringing up your kids to you because you said it on the air. Now she's like, how dare you tell me what to say to my kids? Well, you've discussed this. You've put it in your personal terms. You've talked about it, how it affects you as a mother and what you have to tell your kids. So I'm telling you to tell your kids, obey the police. Okay, well, that was it, folks, because after she said, after I said, obey the cops and you made it public, she writes, and you've been blocked. Oh, what a woman. What a woman. What a brain surgeon. So she blocked me in December of 2014 for that, for telling her, for following up on what she said on CNN. About as a parent, as a black parent with kids of color, you know, but I don't know if she's black, Hispanic, whatever. As a parent of color with kids of color, you know, you have to have this conversation. So I said, tell your kids to obey the police. How dare you cross the line when you tell me what about my kids? Do I know you? Well, you know me through TV and I know you through TV. And that's what you were just talking about, idiot. So there you go. All right. There you go. Now, we go from CNN 2014 to CNN now in 2023. Wow. Bill Weir is the climate reporter, journalist, whatever they call him on CNN. He's the guy who, when his son was born about a year ago, maybe more than a year ago, he did a video apologizing to his newborn son for bringing him into a world where the climate is all messed up. I kid you not. And the pandemic. Okay. So this guy is just so out there. I want you to hear. Listen to CNN. Listen to how they start this story and where it goes. Cut 262.
Just into CNN, a dire warning about the state of the planet. A new UN report warns the climate time bomb is ticking and the world is running out of time to avoid catastrophe.
So that assessment comes from the world's most authoritative body on climate change, which says the Earth is going to pass this critical warning threshold now much earlier than expected. I mean, we're staring it down. They're talking about the early 2030s. CNN chief climate correspondent Bill Weir is here. So please tell me we can stop this, Bill.
Oh, I'd love to tell you that. We have to believe that, and we can. And that's really the takeaway, is that the tools are in our hands. There are no miracles needed when it comes to technology. It's all right here. It's all about political will.
This just in to CNN. The world is about to end. Who says so? The United Nations. Oh, well. Okay, let me start cleaning up then. If the world is ending, you know, I want it to be neat when the outer space people find me or whatever the heck. Oh, and of course, we have the tools to fix this. It's just, do we have the political will? In other words, will you give up everything? Will you give up your washing machines and your dryers and your cars and your AC and do as we say? Here's cut 263.
Every year, thousands of peer-reviewed papers around the world look at the ice or the clouds or the penguins or every little aspect of our changing planet. The IPCC, these are scientists from 195 countries, have to synthesize all that information. Their governments have to approve the language, and then they put this report together and give it to lawmakers in time for this next COP that's coming up in the United Arab Emirates. And it is the most unequivocal. There's no such thing as climate alarmism anymore. The time bomb is ticking, but we have the guide on how to defuse the bomb right in our hands right here. But it's interesting to look at, you know, those who love fuels that burn and the politicians who support them use that term climate alarmism a lot. And if you look at the history of this, the first report in 1990 was noncommittal about whether it was even happening. Boy, would we love that decade back.
Oh, yes. Oh, to go back to that decade. Oh, when we were all so ignorant and had such false hope. Oh, now we're doomed. We're doomed. And there's no way out except to have the people comply with the most radical steps possible. Oh, these people are loony bins. Look, we were supposed to all be dead by now, underwater, whatever, burnt to death, seas melting, right? Oh, never mind. Well, here's the final clip from this nonsensical report, this hysteria on CNN. Cut 264.
Now, in hindsight, it proved again and again they would have been understating the evidence right now. And now it is, we've pretty much run out of time in order to keep it at 1.5. That's when the tipping points might start there. But between the first, and this is the sixth synthesis report like this, humanity has emitted a trillion tons of carbon into the sea and sky. That's like 40% of all the planet cooking pollution since the Industrial Revolution in the early 1800s. So that's more carbon than has been up there in the last 2 million years. As a result of that, temperatures are rising faster than they have in the last 2,000 years. And it's all right in front of our faces now. Whether this will do anything, when it comes to real politics, Putin and Xi are meeting right now. China has just approved new coal projects in 82 different regions. Vladimir Putin's not exactly interested in decarbonizing anytime fast. Joe Biden just approved the Willow Project in Alaska. Oil companies are still the richest companies in the world. And as long as that happens, it feels like we're ignoring what is being told to us by our scientists.
Yeah, the fate of the world, you would think, should be a priority. No sign it is just yet.
Yes, the fate of the world should be a priority. No sign it is just yet. Oh, my God. please crawl back into your holes or wherever you came from. Go do another video to apologize to your son that we know now the world is ending and there's nothing I could do. It is a clown show, but they're going to use it. They're going to use it to try to take away more freedoms from us and really destroy what we have in every way, shape, and form. Okay, but Al Gore and the others, they'll get rich off it, so don't you worry. And John Kerry and the rest of them, I'm sure. Okay, folks, tomorrow we'll do it again, God willing. Tell your enemies, tell your friends, be here, same time, same place, right here on TNT Radio. And stay tuned for Misty Winston coming up next.